in life for free.
Welcome back to Dr. Jax. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV on the board. She's AV off the board, but she's AV on the board today. How is everybody? AV everywhere. SP Futures down 211. NASDAQ Futures. Wait a minute. Dow Futures down 211. NASDAQ Futures down 25. NASDAQ Futures down 69. So, not so hot here this morning. We were way down, as everybody knows, on Wednesday. And we were way down yesterday morning. And then Pelosi and Mnuchin came out and said they were going to have yet another stimulus package. So, of course, the market takes that as more money in the market. And we turn around and we flip probably down 30 to up 30 in the S&Ps in a nanosecond. This is crazy business. Boy, I'd sure like to be trading ahead of their stuff. I don't know. I'm getting so old and grumpy that I honestly believe somebody is. And it bothers the living hell out of me because it's just the way that is. Anyway, do we have Kevin?
You do have Kevin.
How are you? Am I jealous or what?
AV everywhere. Is that a song? Is that a poem? Is that a short story? Or a full novel?
Well, what do you think of somebody who brings her pal with yesterday? So it was AV and friend. I'm getting ganged up on yet again. So I decided I'm going to buy Chinese chow for the office, and they don't want to have any. They're going to just drop us off in Chinatown.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want to hang with the likes of you either.
Well, at least, you know what they say, it's better to eat and run than to run and have to eat somewhere else.
No, we just wanted to sit outside, like, you know, have experience.
Yeah, have an experience, and they were going to take the water taxi, but the water taxi never showed up. They couldn't find the river. You know, it's kind of hard not to find.
We found the river, but we couldn't find the river taxi.
You couldn't find the dock or whatever.
Probably, yeah. So we just drove ourselves on the bikes.
Oh, God. Anyway, so that's where that all went, Kevin, you know, so. But your friend is she's very interesting. She's from where?
She's from Russia, but she's Uzbekistanian.
She's what?
Uzbekistanian.
Yeah, I'm learning about all these different areas in Russia, Kevin. It's pretty interesting.
They aren't in Russia, anybody from Uzbekistan would tell you it's not Russia.
Oh, I know.
Don't say that.
Well, it used to be when we were growing up. Actually, no, it was USSR.
It was Soviet Union. That's
yeah.
Different.
Yes, yes. But she made it over here. What an age! Excuse me, is age 19. And went to Florida, Key West, right?
Yeah.
And then then she got her parents over here later, and they're still not... Well, they're here, but they're not officially citizens, but she is, correct?
She's almost.
Almost, all right, mm-hmm. when you think about all the people that don't want to be here, Kevin, let's put it this way, anybody coming in is pretty happy to be here, let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't that the truth?
I always say it to my American friends, you don't know anything else. So.
One of AV's greatest lines, if you don't like your police, you should try the Russian police for a day.
Yeah, I'll bet.
So, get a load of this, Kevin. My high-end phone croaks yesterday. Just dies, you know, so, okay, it's dead. Of course, nobody wants to fix it. Nobody's how to fix it. So, I go online, and there's a place, T-Mobile place by me allegedly is a phone fixing joint, right? And then there's the Best Buy. So I think, you know, I haven't been to these places forever. So, all right, I don't leave work. I mean, I leave 4:30 or so long after the market closes and talk to my last client. So I go to the T-Mobile. And I walk in and I'm going, yeah, this is strange. What do you think is strange in there, Kevin?
Everything, but aside from that, probably the lack of people.
There's a couple of people that are...
No.
No, there's a couple of people...
You know what? You mentioned it to me already, so I'll let you tell it.
AV, there's not a phone in the place. You can't go look at anything. And I'm thinking, okay, these guys are all worried about... They must have gotten busted into the last time there was a riot. There's not a phone to be had. You can't see anything. So I talk to the guy, and he looks at it and goes, I don't think I can open up the back of that thing. Go to one of those... fix-it joints, or maybe go to Best Buy and see if their Geek Squad can do something. I go, all right. So I head over to Best Buy, and the place is totally boarded up. And I drive by probably 10 garbage trucks, all sitting there waiting for something to happen. So the whole place is already kind of hunkered down. Kevin, this is really screwed up. So I go, I walk through the plywood at the Best Buy. The guy goes, we can't fix that. Okay, you got something new? Well, if you want, I can buy a new one. Well, yeah, isn't that what you do? When you need
bring it somewhere to the west or south.
That's what I'm probably going to do. But
go take it to some Mexican guys.
Okay.
My friend did it.
Was there any particular Mexican guy, or just anybody who happens to be Hispanic?
No, I don't know particular, but she just went like to Ukrainian village, where it's like you can buy, you know, like there's some stores like with phones, but not like Best Buy or anything, like small stores, like shops. I think they can fix it there.
Well, maybe, but then suddenly I say to the okay, I need a phone today. I need my number back. Oh man, what do you want? Like buy a phone? Well, yeah, that's kind of what. How else am I going to get one? Steal it? Kevin, the questions, I gotta get out more or something. This is like a whole new world to me. Well, you know, yeah, if you really just want to buy one, you got it. Start at like $200. We got all these plans and packages. I don't want a plan and package. Don't you have just a cheap phone that I get my number back, and then by the time I'll talk to AV and Kevin and the rest of the gang and find out what kind of phone I should get, and then I'll get a phone in a couple weeks. Can I just get one today? Oh man, we don't have anything like that. Okay. Kevin, did I walk into the planet Pluto or what? This is just in two stops.
Well, it sort of tells you how in 5-6 months' time we've pretty much screwed things up pretty good, huh?
Oh, but that's okay though. I'll listen to CNBC and Fox Business today, and they'll tell me how great everything is. The numbers are so huge, and why I got to be pouring money into everything they tell me to pour it into. There's something really there, to say that there's a disconnect between people sitting at home getting a fat paycheck watching their stocks do halfway decently, and the rest of the world is... I don't see anything like this. I mean, I say it every day, but it's true. I mean every day it confirms more every place I go. Just saying.
Well, if you really wanted to upend society, how would you do it?
It's pretty close.
We've kind of done it, haven't we?
Yeah.
And now, you know, what's the expression you hear all the time? It's the new normal. It's the new normal. So we're now trying to normalize this.
People have been
all of it, but you know, you get to specific things. Wearing a mask isn't normal.
No.
But now we're calling that the new normal.
Yeah.
Keeping distance from people isn't normal, but now we're calling that the new normal.
Funny you should mention that. When I first opened the places back up, I go over to the Tripoli. And sitting there with I don't know who I was with, might have been probably Audrey, and I think maybe Maddie Weber and Jill. Well, one of the weirdo, this is kind of an odd thing, Kevin, but when you're on the trading floor as long as I was, one of the wacko skills you develop, and this is almost kind of, well, Audrey thinks it's gross, even though she has the same thing because she was on the trading floor too. You can actually directionally hear, even at my age. In other words, it frosts her, you know, ladies are about guys not listening to them. All of a sudden, I can like zero in on a table next to us, even at my age, and just listen to the conversation. She's like, "You're not listening to me." I'm like, "Oh, for a second, I was listening to the table next door." You're not supposed to do that. Nobody can do that. Anyway, it's a skill you pick up because you can listen to one conversation in the pit, and all of a sudden, if a broker behind you notice somebody hands him an order. You immediately zero in over there. You know, you totally forget the conversation you listened to before. It's a weirdo skill you pick up when you're on a trading floor. Let's put it that way. And nobody believes me, but it's true. So
yeah, but I get it. You have to be attuned to everything that's going on around you. So you immediately your little radar sensor goes off, and then and you immediately go to it. Then you come back when you realize it's either nothing or it's something, and maybe I better stay attuned to this.
So this guy is with this young lady, and they're both, you know, and they got the masks on, and they're socially distancing at the table, talking about how much they're socially distancing. So I immediately zero in on this. This has got to be a Match.com like first date. And they're talking about they never take the mask off outside, whatever.
Second date. The first one was online.
Well, probably. So
first one was live stream. So.
Well, so Audrey goes, "All right, so now that you're listening, what's going on? I think it's a first date." And all they're doing is talking about social distancing. She looks over at the table. She goes, "Nothing's happening there tonight." Like, well, okay, I didn't quite go that far, but she did. Anyway, they've got the markets down, Kevin. We can't seem to have anything moving. We got silver down, we got gold down, which is sort of interesting on the metals, because if the stimulus package comes out, it's going to be, I mean, I just tell everybody what's going to happen. They're going to say, we're going to come out with I'm going to guess the numbers. What do you think? Trillion and a half, two? It's not going to
be one. Yeah, I think a trillion and a half.
Okay, so let's say a trillion and a half. So the Fed's going to say, we'll support it, so we'll put in $1.2 trillion of printed money, which is sort of the relationship they had last time, which means the Fed will actually borrow new 300,000 new money, hopefully from overseas, because if you borrow from somebody here, all you do is decrease demand there. So you... Just so everybody knows, when a normal Fed borrowing, if it was totally fiscal, which means that the monetary side stayed out of it. Didn't even know they were going to borrow $200 billion for the Kevin O'Neill Expressway across Indiana. If they go out and borrow that, they go out and they borrow the money. AV runs over. I get my chance to buy a U.S. bond. She buys it. The money comes out of AV's checking account and it goes into the checking account of Munchkin. Mnuchin, and that's how that works. Okay, now the difference is that AV is probably going to save, even in this day and age, say 10% of the money, 15%. Government's not going to save any of it. So what you do is you pull 10 to 15%. Sometimes savings rates have been as high as 20. You pull that close. You pull that spending up. So you pull it up to now they can build a road next week instead of AV putting in savings. However, one of the identities of all economics is that savings equals investment. That's why when these people do this stuff, Kevin, they screw up the new normal. The new normal is not, if you read, I would suggest everybody go read a Greek tragedy. They were what, 500 BC or something? People don't change. There's no such thing as a new normal in 6 months. I don't mean in terms of people's behavior. You may have to change behavior for a while, but it doesn't become a new normal, I don't think.
You're right. I mean, just philosophically speaking, either at individual levels or group levels, changing behavior takes a long time and a lot of persistence.
Right. I mean, so anyway, that's how fiscal policy could work. So what you do is you're borrowing from savings and investment, okay, into consumption, near-term consumption. And that's why the Keynes's of the world, meaning John Maynard Keynes, who was up with this, came up with this. Well, he identified it. I don't think he came up with it. I mean, if anybody had done it before he was alive, the same thing would happen. So that's what they do. You don't really create anything. What you do is saying right now there's a little bit of a recession. We want more current spending. So here's what we'll do. We'll borrow money from people who save some of it, and we'll spend it. That's pretty much the only... Well, the other thing is what this is hard-pressed today, Kevin, is if you have a project that's so friggin' important that not only do you pick up current consumption, but you're going to end up with dramatic benefits thereafter, then it could actually be really worth it to you. I'm gonna say Hoover Dam, for instance, or the Golden Gate Bridge, or even the Bay Bridge, or any kind of real bridge, probably. The tunnels in New York. All of a sudden, people could get from New Jersey to Manhattan. All right, both by train and by car. Train tunnel.
Yeah, New Yorkers have been cursing that event for a long time, but keep going.
Well, but I'm saying now all of a sudden what you did is if you, by Hoover Dam, by controlling the Colorado River, you essentially opened up the Imperial Valley to where something you could actually farm, which is incredibly fertile, and you wouldn't have to worry about a flood. There actually still is an inland sea there from a Colorado River flood before the dam was built. So much water went in there. It essentially created its own funky lake. And it keeps going down a little bit every year, but it's still there. But, I mean, when you pick up a head of lettuce, it's probably from the Imperial Valley. So it opened up an entire area for agriculture that you couldn't farm before. And obviously the Golden Gate Bridge, You imagine the amount of time over since 1937 or wherever it opened, the amount of time and money that you've saved by having to take that bridge and not have to get a ferry to go, a ferry to across. Well, we still have ferries, but everybody have to get on a ferry to go to Northern California, or else drive all the way around.
Or drive all the way around. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, Tennessee Valley Authority, same sort of thing. But we've kind of, I won't say we're out of those projects, but they're not as easily. It's not the same as repairing a bridge that you let get into disrepair. So instead of spending $1 million a year to repair it, to keep the thing going, you have to spend, you know, $1 billion on a new one because you let it go down a rat hole. Then you're better off with the new bridge, yeah. But does it really do anything for commerce? No, you're back to the same place, right?
Yeah, you're spending money to maintain the status quo.
And so, I mean, which is not a bad idea, but it just. So you have to, when people toss these numbers around, and what's surprising to me, Kevin, as I mentioned this the other day, is when I was over at Dr. J's one birthday party or something, the producer was there, and he says, well, how come you don't come on the show? I'll keep the long story short. I don't care if I go on the show. So I said, well, I come all the way over there and put the makeup on, and I don't look so hot anyway. And I said, you got five people there. He asked me one question, and you don't need me, basically. I counted the last time I was on, there were 22 guests in the first 2 hours. So they get four or five people on there, all pretty knowledgeable, not just me. And they let everybody say three words, and they're gone, and another five people. He said, we saved the show that way. We never actually bring a topic to its conclusion. We like to keep the topic going, like, all day. All right, well, they claim they saved the show that way in 2000 or whatever. And I said, fine, well, now you notice these people, whoever they are, they're struggling to get guests. So when they get a guest, the guest and the person interviewing them, some of these guys are running into 6-7 minutes now. Now, when you get somebody that you're interviewing for 6-7 minutes, I mean, I know because I do it every morning, you better get somebody that's capable of talking and has a depth of knowledge that they got 8 minutes worth. You get these CEOs, once they get past how great their company's doing and how great a job they're doing, The softball five or six questions they demand of you that you ask them. God, this has been the greatest quarter ever, hasn't it, AV? Oh, funny you should mention that. Yeah, you think that's not choreographed, right? Well, it is. But now the question is, now you've got the guys on there, now you have to start asking them other stuff. They don't want to, they either don't know or don't want to, or, so how's the COVID effect? And you can see the announcer's not comfortable doing it, and neither are they answering the questions. I mean, you probably can't tell so much unless you did it every day like I do, but I can tell. I mean, can you? I don't know. You probably can.
No, you absolutely can, and I can tell you with what I have to do for a living, I have to be able to expound on things for a very, very long time. And I have a lot of other tools at my disposal, but to give you an example, we just had a short brush on Tuesday in my informatics class with artificial intelligence, and it really wasn't part of the module. It was just something I wanted to make sure that they realized how it fit in. And the students asked a lot of questions about it at the end, and I said, okay, we'll spend a little more time on this Thursday. So yesterday I did half a class. Well, that's an hour and a half. So I needed to be able to prepare for them, and some of it's discussion and some of it's video, but I needed to be able to prepare for them an hour and a half on artificial intelligence. And, so I do have to speak a long time, and I do have to be able to get in-depth on a subject, and that takes preparation, and it's doable, and some of, a lot of the material, along those lines, a lot of the material I know, if we're going to talk about leadership, I have principles, I could start now and take us up to the end of my hour and give you the whole thing. But I'm very used to doing that. I think that any CEO or anybody like that is capable of doing it. The question is, do they want to do it? And I think the answer to that is probably no, because some of what they don't want to do is because it's uncomfortable.
Well, one of the things that you have to have for me to do this show, this is how crazy regulation is, for me, who's a registered guy, what do I got? I got 7, 63, 24, 65.
You're a made guy, huh?
Pretty much. And in order for me to do a show, this is how crazy this is, or my thinking is, I cannot have anything prepared, Kevin. It's reacting to the news. If I wrote down one note, somebody'd have to approve it before I get on the air. Is that pretty ignorant or what? So the word is unscripted, which obviously people listening know it is. So I look at the news, I look at the stocks, I look at who my guests are, and I say, okay, we're going to roll down here and see where it takes us. If the guest comes up with something interesting, I need to be either curious enough, if I don't know, to ask the right questions to get it so everybody understands, including me, or if I do know something about it, I can contribute that. But I can't have a note here. Is that about as ignorant as it gets?
Yes.
And so I can't. I can't have a list of stocks.
Normal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, no. It's been my normal for 30 years. But I mean, I can't have a list of stocks I want to talk about. If I see one that's moving, I can talk about that because I can talk about market activity. You know. So I always wait till like this morning. McDonald's is down $1.97. So if I had something to say about McDonald's, I would use that as a lead into McDonald's. I couldn't have in front of me McDonald's and here's the five things I'd want to say, or else Dan would have to approve it. I mean, it's insanity. It's insanity. Anyway, what happens with when is the Pac-10? Let's switch to sports a little bit because we're all, if ever there's been a time in life, Kevin, one of the themes of the show is that everything's the same part of the same story. Is it ever proven out as much to be true as it has been the last 6 months, how the disease, the vaccines, the politics, the sports are all the same story?
They are exactly the same story.
So what's going on with the Pac-12?
Yeah, they're all part of this is our new normal, Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
that'll be today's show header is going to be just new normal.
But Kevin, you can see how people are reaching for knowledge. I mean, last night, the night before, Len Casper and somebody, you know, I was watching the Sox game. The Cubs already lost. I was watching the Sox game, and the guys are preaching for everybody should wear a mask and this, that, the other. Kevin, those guys don't know whether the mask is good or bad or in a barrel, and who they're even talking to. I mean, is somebody already had it? They're supposed to wear it. I mean, I mean, everybody just is bleating out on the knowledge they pick up. So they just dropped the French Open from what 10,000 people to 1,000 in the stadium. For tennis. Now, does anybody have any kind of science whatsoever? And I don't know how big the place is. Does anybody have any kind of study anywhere that says if we went from 30 feet apart, of course, if there's 1,000 people there, there's 1,000 people sitting together, right? To packs of twos and threes and fours. So if you had more of those packs, what do you, if they're family members or what, do you really think that, I guess, where is the science that says, if we go from 1,000 to 4,000, we're going to get this many cases versus another. It actually happened in this place, not on the ride over, not on the ride home, and not at home. I mean, where is any study that tells me that?
Well, let's look at it a little different way. How much criticism is there every time Trump holds a rally, and there's a lot of people there who don't wear masks, and everybody says he's hosting a super spreader event, he is killing people. He has been accused of homicide on MSNBC for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And then after the fact, how many of those have proven to be super spreader events? None.
None. None of the rallies / looting incidents stuff here. There's nobody. Of course, in those neighborhoods, nobody checks anyway. So it's hard to tell. So, yeah, I mean, I'm saying,
except that you would know if you had a big outbreak. And there hasn't been.
No. Depends. There's no way on earth the people from a Trump rally or the people from Inglewood are racing off the next morning to get tested, Kevin, or 3 days later. So you'll never know. And we don't have any testing protocol, random sample, where we'll find out. That's the whole beauty, the lack of beauty of this whole mess. S&P futures down 23, S&P futures down 47. Let me know if you agree with that after break.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV on the board. S&P Futures now only down 19. Down 22. It came back down a little bit after the break, during break. NASDAQ Futures down 48. Dow Futures down 195. Like I said, this is starting to look ugly. I did some spreads the other day for people in my new strategies, and, well, some of the old ones were, we're already fighting puts on the downside. I left like 7% to the downside in some of the stuff, and we're fighting puts already. I mean, we're doing good in the positions, but boy, we didn't think to be doing that in 5 days. DAX down 219, that's 1.7%. That's a big move. FTSE down 33.6, not so bad there. Hanging around down 83, 1.7. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 116.5. Shanghai down 3, call that flat. Hang Seng down 75.3%. So Asia relatively quiet. Here yesterday, if you didn't watch, S&P finished up on the day 9.6. Dow was up 52 and NASDAQ was up 39. So after being way down during the show, we came flying back and then pretty much finished, I won't say flat, but relatively flat. We had a 200-point move in some in the NASDAQ. 10-year, 0.66, so that's actually down a little bit. Bund minus 0.52, down another basis point. And Japan, Kevin, can be any closer to zero to this? Positive 0.001. Oil, down 46 cents, under 40 again, 39.85. Brent down 33 cents, 41.61. Natural gas down 7 cents, 217. And RBOB down, well, call it a penny, to 118. Gold down another 15 bucks, 18.61. Silver down 37 cents, 22.80. Silver was like $26 a couple weeks ago. Copper pretty much well below $3 now at 295. So if you're looking for metal demand to say production has picked up, forget about that. AV, what do you got for us for traffic, weather, sports?
Good morning, friends. Happy Friday. Probably the last summer-like weekend followed by a big pattern change next week. Beautiful day, sunny and clear skies. The highest will be 79 and 63 at night. Phoenix is being stable, keeping the temperature near high records. Abundant sunshine, clear skies. The highest will be 105 and the lowest 76. The traffic looks alright, just we have a crash involving a motorcycle reported at Austin, Kennedy inbound that blocks the right lane and creating delays starting at Harlem. There might be some delays due to the construction works on Dendrian and Eisenhower intersection as usual, but other than that, the traffic looks alright, no major delays. And in sports, we have Cubs that lost to Pirates 0-7, and White Sox lost to Indians 4-5.
The only good news in that sports report, Kevin, is that the Cubs played during the day, and I missed it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me too. Because it's hard to watch them, but I also, you know, you sort of have that rubbernecking a traffic accident feeling when you when they're on, like, well, I got to take a good look at this. It is a mess. Hey, I told you about this last night, but I wanted to tell you about this kind of fun poll, and it wasn't done for fun. It was really done in seriousness.
Hey, before you do that, I got a letter from the. I'll bet it ties into what you're going to say. A letter from one of our listeners. I've quoted him before. He's a good guy, Paul. His sister's son is in. Can you imagine this Thanksgiving dinner? His sister's son is in entertainment. Her son has not worked since March, so obviously here in Chicago, Chicago PD is, Chicago Fire, none of that stuff's being filmed. It's probably four or five TV shows that are filmed here constantly, and none of them have done anything. So he says his sister hates Trump so much that she is okay with her son has not worked in months. The economy is destroyed completely, so she can blame Trump for a bad economy. Even though Pritzker is the one closing the business and destroying the Illinois economy, destroying her son's career, you almost have to know how the economy works and the civics works, which you and I are always talking about. It doesn't seem like anybody knows who the hell is where. Nobody doesn't look like anybody's ever had a civics class. You almost have to know civics to know who to hate, Kevin.
Yep, but we've had, and in fact, this week we've had the conversation of, well, why would anybody think that there's some benefit to all of this? And that mindset that you just heard is the answer. That where's the blame gonna go? This is bad, and where's the blame gonna go?
There's enough blame for everybody.
If you make the case that it's all Trump's fault, then you have energized all of the people who don't like him anyway.
I can say one thing. I very seldom say this because I very seldom can. One thing that's unequivocally true, Kevin, is there's enough blame to go around for everybody on this one.
Oh yes, there is. Oh yeah, there is.
All right, you were saying,
although. Yeah, so I was going to say the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce conducted a poll in the past week, and they just wanted to get a sense of how people are reacting to COVID-19 and what their attitudes are, and this was compared to May. So their general in Wisconsin was that if you look at a few categories, people are... 58% of the people are willing to stay at a hotel versus 49% in May. Eating at a restaurant is up to 55% from 45%. Sending a child to school is at 65% up from 49%. Some things are down. Air travel is down 36% compared to 42% in May. Going to a bar is actually down, hard to believe in Wisconsin, but it's down 34% from 43%. Attending a sports event down to 25% from 36, and going to a gym or a health club down to 32% from 51. A couple of things haven't changed. Grocery shopping is 94% up from 93, so that's virtually no change. Shopping at a mall, 55% to 51, and going to a movie theater, 39-38. Then they asked by political affiliation, because this is such a hot-button political issue and the protocols and the things people are willing to do. And this gets kind of interesting. So the difference Republican to Democrat for shopping for groceries, hardly any. It's 96 to 91%. Going to work, it starts to spread out a little bit. Going to work, Republicans 86%, Democrats 72% willing to go to work. I guess the other 28% are teachers.
Yeah, no kidding.
Dining at a restaurant. This is where it gets kind of stark. 74% of Republicans are willing to go to a restaurant. 39% of Democrats.
Wow.
Going to movies, 57% Republican, 25% Democrat. Going to a bar, 50% Republican, 21% Democrat. Shop at a mall, 67 Republican, 43 Democrat. Flying on an airplane, 49% Republican, 24 Democrat. Going to a gym or a health club, still under 50% for Republican, 45, but it's 21% for Democrats. Attending a sports event at a stadium, 38% Republican, 14% Democrat. So
that's crazy.
Two observations from that. One is that it wasn't that long ago that any pushback against authority used to come from the left.
Absolutely.
Now the left
Absolutely.
Is totally compliant or is incredibly compliant, and the right is where the pushback is on authority. So that's part one. And part two is Democrats are a bunch of weenies.
Well, you know, that is what's actually sort of taken place in a lot of, you and I used the term weenies a long time ago, but when Jay-Z was on doing the show before she moved back to the burbs, Jessica, good lady, she was going to DePaul, and she said absolutely the guys who were who thought they were like real guys were all Republican. And the other guys, it was the women, you know, the gays, the LBG, whatever, that whole group, they were all Democrat. So any guy who thought he was a guy had to be Republican. And that is so different than when we grew up, Kevin, where every union worker with forearms like Popeye was a Democrat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I don't know what is, it's almost as remarkable as the South going from being Democrat to Republican, right? Which happened, what, after Roosevelt? It happened when Lyndon Johnson was in office, right?
Johnson, Nixon, you know.
Well, Wayne knows exactly. What was the bill, or was it the Civil Rights? It was something. Wayne gave us his whole story one day about the Jesse Helms, or whoever was in charge at the time. They all flipped. I think it had to do with when Johnson put through the voting rights. Was it the Voting Rights Act or something?
Yeah, I think all of that. It even goes back to Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy as Attorney General, because they started forcing things. You know, they even got dragged, but sooner or later, you know, there's a whole story about how the nation changed its attitudes about discrimination in the South and how the politicians got on board with it. But it was really because you could watch the nightly news and you could see some of the things. Once you know, King emerged as a leader of this, but once you started seeing what actually were peaceful protests, and what peaceful protests got you was fire hoses turned on you, dogs turned on you, and things like that. The rest of America sat there and started saying, "Oh my God,
yeah, you know,
we can't have this." And so that sort of, you know, really got to the moral conscience, and I think that's what, you know, what protesters are missing today is you get the violence, and nobody makes the moral connection anymore.
Well, the thing to be honest, that frustrates the hell out of me on a personal level, and I would, you know, if Eric was here, I'd argue right with him. Our African American friend Eric, who I got him back on the show, we've missed him. He's been COVIDing pretty well. But I know he would understand it. When I saw all that stuff, Kevin, and like I said, I pretty much grew up in a black neighborhood. So I never, none of this stuff, when I saw that on TV, I'm like, then when I read for a time, I don't think there's probably our record someplace, Wayne could probably drag him out, that for a long time, the record, this is the Roosevelt administration, I believe, the record, maybe not, might have been after him, filibuster in the Senate, for years, was against what law? You're probably the only person in the world that could say which. There's been records after that, so this is like the Jimmy Stewart goes to Washington sort of thing. But for a long period of time, the record filibuster was against a anti, what do you call them? What do you string people up at the tree? What do they call that?
Anti-lynching
law. How the hell in this country could people filibuster against an anti-lynching law? mean, so people in our generation that everybody, that young blacks think were, look, I mean, that's, and AV was saying, mentioned this yesterday, was we were driving around. She said, you know, I look at black people look like they hate me. She goes, I don't have any bad feelings for anybody. Well, why would they? But this whole thing that I'm all of a sudden getting accused of this, I thought that was horrible, Kevin. In my entire life, everywhere I've been, I mean, I had the first black lady market maker and the not broker. There's a few of those. Was I backed on the CBOE floor? The first time a black softball player played Mount Greenwood Park, he was on my team. So it's not so for somebody to look at me and just oh, you're just one of those old disgusting white guys that hate black people. You know, I'm pretty damn insulted, to be honest with you. And when I should be.
I think you know enough about my family too.
Yeah.
To think that.
Oh yeah.
it's kind of a ridiculous assertion.
What Kevin's talking about is his older brother, how we met, brother Tim. Obviously, still a really good friend. Is married to an African American lady. Has two great kids, and nobody ever said boo about it ever, right?
And well, let's take it further. One brother, you know, these are your Irish Catholic boys. One brother is married to an African American woman. Another brother married a Jewish woman. I have a Korean daughter. The fourth brother has a Mexican son.
Well, Tim needed somebody to straighten him out.
We're kind of a mixed family. Why? Because it doesn't matter.
That's right.
And you know, one of the videos that I use, and it's really good for creating the subject because it's totally neutral. The video itself is totally neutral to race. But it's a TED Talk from a woman named Gail Tolstoy Miller. I'll tweet it. And she's a recruiter, a professional recruiter, and she's talking about unconscious bias. And so as she talks about unconscious bias, she's really saying, you know, identifies a number of things about how you make assumptions of people based on superficial observations, and that you have to learn to audit yourself and lose it, because from a recruiting standpoint, you're eliminating all kinds of great people. Now, you can take that and turn it around and say, okay, what's your unconscious racial bias? And people being, you know, the ability to audit yourself on that and say, how do I react to others? There's a tone that older, a much older generation of blacks would use a term called feeling tone. And this is your comfort with around people, because there's a whole radar that says I can tell that this white person is not comfortable with me, that they're either wary or patronizing or whatever it is, and it's called feeling tone. And the whole punchline of the talk is to learn to say, so what? That I make this observation, it gives me an uncomfortable feeling. I have to learn to recognize that and say, okay, so what? Does it matter that this person wears, you know, white polka dot dresses and I hate them? Does it matter that this person wears white pumps after Labor Day? Does it matter that this person's got crazy hair? Does it matter that this person, is a guy who was a stay-at-home dad for several years to help raise the kids? Does it matter that this person is black, Asian, Hispanic, whatever it is? And you know, you have to. We all, and it doesn't matter who you are, we all have to recognize those biases in ourselves and just learn to say, okay, so what?
Well, I always have to push back on you a little, Kevin, because it's good radio. I will say this, as a guy who's, you know, been, I won't say own PTI, there's a lot of people in it, all the employees are part of it, but I'm the major domo at PTI. I don't care who you are, male, female, whatever, but I will say this, when we have a seminar, we used to do them all the time. We used to, the lady who used to work here and put the seminars together named, Sarah McNabb. Sarah was absolutely terrific. You know, but Sarah was, she wasn't a runway model, attractive lady, but whenever there was a seminar, she dressed the part. She knew how to space the donuts at the table, knew how to say hello to people. For that 4 hours, she was whatever. You know, whoever writes the column for how you're supposed to act in front of people. I don't care if she had a, you know, what she did. I mean, I don't care if you have a mohawk, but on that day, you have to dress right, and you have to talk right to people, and you have to make sure that you don't pile the donuts in with the sweet rolls. I mean, you have to represent your place. And
sure,
it doesn't matter what color.
Attire, yeah. And behavior is something that you can learn.
Yes.
But when, I certainly encourage that, you know, for interviewing, for any kind of situation like that, I encourage it. At least dress for whatever professional means for the situation. And I wouldn't deny that. But on the other hand, so that's fine. That's a professional evaluation. On the other hand, if you were to see a picture of me in a professional setting versus what I look like on Saturday afternoon,
right.
And make a judgment about it, and maybe I have the some of the ugliest casual attire going, so what? It really gets down to the content of the person.
Well, it's hard to get that stylish stuff at the end of the rack, you know.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's hard to go back to the dumpster behind Walmart and pick out the stuff they're throwing away because they can't sell it.
I get the stuff in the mail, how they find me, but I get the catalogs where it's real stylish stuff, and the pant size goes to like 38, and I go, I don't think that's meant for me. But, Kevin, that's why an interview is an interview of how you're going to represent yourself and to clients of the place. And it absolutely doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter whether you're a guy or a girl. It just matters that you have an idea of what it's like to represent other people, right?
But we have to recognize that in each of us, we react. We react to things because, and it's very unconscious most of the time. And we just have reactions, whether it's severe or whether it's minor. It doesn't matter. It's recognizing those reactions in ourselves and fixing them. Which is the point of the so what. That's how the process works. And if we, the better we learn to do that, the more a lot of the conflicts go away.
Well, I agree with that. But also the other side, and when I say the other side, I don't mean color side. PTI is a seminar. I would not really be happy that that's the day if I have a guy here that he wears his MAGA hat, because it's a confrontation we don't need when we're trying to impress people. We know something about trading.
I also encourage and I teach this. We do this topic in class too. I don't shy away from any topics. Politics at work, as far as I'm concerned, you just don't allow it.
Right. Well, yeah.
You want to go out and stand front and center at a rally, one side or the other, don't care. I fully support your right to do that. And if anybody's got a problem with it, send it to me. But when you're at work, I bought 40 hours of your time. I get to prescribe what you do during those 40 hours and what you wear during those 40 hours. And if you got a problem with that, go find another place to work, because I don't want anything going on that will undermine teamwork at my place. I had a group when I was at Better World Books. I had a mature group of tech people, and so every once in a while in the room we would get into a political discussion. We all and they were divergent, but they had enough professional respect for each other and personal respect for each other to look at the different sides. But there were times when I felt like, okay, we're cutting this off right now, and I'd tell them that, and I said, no, we're not going there. We're just not going to do this. And that, as far as I'm concerned, was about as far as I was willing to push it, because in a work environment, I need a functioning team, and I don't need the scars that come with some of this stuff. It doesn't help. It's not helpful. It's not productive. As far as I'm concerned, you leave all of it out of work.
I got a question for you, and this has to do with because you're management stuff, and obviously you're into into people, and I was going to talk to. This has to do with a business. It's a business level, but it's also a personal level. In the last 6 weeks, Kevin, I've had more people call me when I get together for coffee. You name it, on weekends if it's Audrey's friends or whatever, and it has to do with the market. And the interesting part of it is, but it really doesn't have to do with the market. It has to do with, you know, excesses and whatever. But let's just say people have a feeling, and how institutions and reputation and things like that can basically worm your way into somebody's head and cause, I don't know, reactions. Let's print the story, and you tell me what the symptoms are. Somebody will call me and say, you know, I got my 401k, or I'm at, you know, XYZ. I won't say Merrill Lynch or someplace. Actually, I might as well say Merrill Lynch because they're probably as good as anybody at blocking people in. And they say, you know, I've been doing this. My 401k or my retirement account's doing fine, but I'm starting to get really nervous about the market. Obviously, things aren't the same as they were 5 years ago in terms of we're a lot higher for one. And obviously, you know, 2 and 3% moves a day are not all that healthy, or sometimes have shown that it's not that healthy and whatever. Not all the time. Every time's different. But I just like to talk about it. All right, so you're nervous. By the way, what are your current situations? Well, I can't be in bonds. They're not paying anything. So I'm in all stocks. And okay, well, that's fine. And so I meet somebody and I say, okay, now just to set the tone, I didn't call you up with a robocall and say, the market's going in the crapper. You should be afraid, that type of thing, and we should have coffee. That's not how this all started. It started because you have a concern. Right. And you called me. Right. Right, so what I'm going to do, depending on whether you're 401k or whether you're Merrill or someplace, I'm going to say to you, here's your two or three options, no pun intended, for somehow whittling this risk down and getting where you want to be. Well, yeah, but I can't leave Merrill. Oh, okay, that's fair. I'm not asking you to. This is not a sales call. this is a friendly cup of coffee because somebody asked me to talk to you and you called me. Okay, fine. But I already can sense the barriers going up, Kevin, to where... What, do you want me to leave Merrill? No. Do you want me to get rid of Big Cap Bob? No. I'm just saying you got 500 grand with Big Cap Bob. You are sensing that maybe that's too much now. It used to be 300, you know, hopefully, 5 years ago. Now it's 500. Good for you. You know, so far you're doing fine. Not, but you're worried about it. You wouldn't put 500 in as of today, would you, correct? If I gave you 500 grand tomorrow, right now and you had no account, would you race over to Big Cap Bob and give him 500? No. Okay, well then, do you think you should cut back 200. Oh, yeah, but the guy will be pissed off and I'll have to argue with him. Okay, so whose account is it? No, yours or his? Well, I mean, it's mine, but, you know, I'm paying whatever this fee for this guy. And, you know, at some point, Kevin, I just want to say, where's the check? I'll pay for the coffee. I'm leaving. I mean, I know if we do, and I hope we don't, if we turn down 30-40%, nobody's going to make a move ever to lighten up. Because you just, not nobody, but all of a sudden you're on the defense and they called you. And I'm usually really good at this. but
well, here's what you do is when, first of all, if you want to soften people up, and at least make them open-minded to leaving, you know, wherever they have their money now, what you do is you have them call up the cable company and cancel. And then find out what a tooth extraction that is while they try to persuade you not to. And then after that, any notion of, you know, maybe I should be open-minded to a change is much less painful.
Well, can that, I don't, honestly, if the market's going to collapse, Kevin, I don't want them to be in the process because it's a 2-week ordeal that I don't want the market collapsing during the 2 weeks. So the first thing I'll say is, look, call up Merrill and tell him to get you $200,000 in cash. And you got $1 million. What's the difference if you're only $800,000 invested and you feel a little better about it? I mean, $800,000 is a lot. Yeah, but I'm not making any interest on my $200,000. Again, there were times when at your age, people would want somebody 35% in cash. And because you're concerned, I'm saying, why don't you try 20 for like a week? Nah, I can't even do that. I got no interest for a week. Finally, you just say, okay, good luck, and walk away. But I mean, you know, one thing you learn in the trading floor.
But you called me.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Kevin, when you learn in the trading floor, I don't know if there's such a thing as, what is it, when somebody can read your thoughts? What's the term for that?
Telepathy?
Yeah. There might be, if you were ever in a group of 350 people in one pit, and you see the market going down or going up, and you see some puts in the book, You sit there and go, boy, I'm going to keep my eye on those things. If you think for a nanosecond that you want to get them, you better get them, because somebody within 3 feet of you will. I mean, it's an eerie, scary thing, but I tell you what, it's very true. I mean, if you just think for a second, and I say to people, trust your first instinct. You're the one who called this meeting. If you're nervous, don't think you're an idiot. You're probably not an idiot. You're it's your money, and you're too extended. Yeah, but I can't. This guy was going to all do his argument. I don't want to call him. I mean, okay, fine. Anyway, Kevin, no game tomorrow, eh?
Football game. I guess that leaves us open to watch the SEC's debut.
When does Pac-12? 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Let's see. They are going to start the first weekend of November, so they're a little ways off yet.
Wow. All right, take care of yourself, bud. We come back, we'll have Mr. Carl Denninger. S&P Futures down 11. NASDAQ has gone positive, however, up 7. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
Thank you, Kevin. Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV on the board. SP Futures now only down 10. NASDAQ Futures actually up 12. It's a big move from when we came in. Do we have Mr. Carl?
You do.
Hey, how are you, bud?
Other than being in Twitter jail, I'm fine.
Well, you know, what you could do for a while is that you could decide to leave Tennessee. If you were politically connected, you could become a garbage truck driver here in Chicago and get overtime just sitting in your truck like for days on end waiting for riots.
Well, that's true. You know, I mean, it's, yeah, the the Twitter jail thing is amusing because they said that I didn't do anything wrong. They just suspected I was a robot and told me to go through, you know, their re-verification procedures. I'm not, you know, send a text code to my phone and all this. And I do that, and it says, oh, thanks, human, but it doesn't unlock it. And then, of course, having done that, it never asks you again. Supposedly, now this is the amusing part of this, when this started, it was a couple days ago, right when the Breonna Taylor grand jury thing came out. And I'm eating lunch, and I got my phone, and I see that the thing on, okay, they indicted the cop for shooting into the adjoining apartment, but not for actually shooting into the apartment where the boyfriend fired on them first, which right. to me seems to make pretty good sense. And I said, oh, here come the riots. And as soon as I posted that, bang. But it wasn't something I said.
No. Well, but I mean, it was, and yet, you can go to every other newspaper and say, city preparing for riots.
Oh, and oh, by the way, yeah. I was right. There was a riot. Two cops got shot that night. So.
Well, what, I guess when we have this, the yin and the yang here, and I don't really know. I know you're for truth, justice, and the American way, kind of guy. But when we have why are we let these places get in the middle, the Facebook, the Twitters, and everything, where they're broadcasting stuff out there, and then all of a sudden right. we decide they need to be censors. And of course, Jeff Bezos and a few of them would love to be censors. They think that they're gods. I just ask them, and they'll tell you. But I wouldn't want to be in that position. I mean, the whole idea of the Constitution is nobody should be in that position, right? But I mean, I guess it's really weird here. It's how, if you had to, write a letter to the editor, or write a letter to your politician, there was some filter there, okay? You had to know how to write, right? You had to be able to spell at least a little bit or nobody would read the damn thing. Even if you had to go down to the central square in a small town and post, you know, thumbtack up a petition, you at least had to have the effort to go do that. You had to go buy the thumbtack. I guess you could steal somebody else's thumbtack. And you had to write the thing up in a way where people didn't think you're an idiot. The more you break down some of those barriers, I don't know where that goes, Carl, but clearly we're seeing. And obviously, you could do all that. You're not afraid to write a letter and that stuff. But it's the person who I was reading a quote from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar last night, talking about athletes and politics and stuff, and said that if you're going to do that, something about you better do the preparation, or else you just turn out to be sounding like the dumb jack everybody always thought you were, right?
And that's part of the problem. I mean, it's the issue that we have though. Today is, as I've pointed out repeatedly over the years, it started with the whole Netflix thing and essentially forcing people who weren't customers to pay for their infrastructure build out, is that we now have taken the monopolist control of things to a degree that is extraordinarily unhealthy and dangerous. And the problem with saying, well, that's a new thing caused by technology, is it really isn't. And if you go back to the Vietnam War, Walter Cronkite, years later admitted that he and the rest of the media essentially stopped the war by lying about the Tet Offensive. And he did it because they didn't think the war was something we ought to be doing. And so they told the American people that we got our butts kicked, and essentially we, in response for losing, that we were slaughtering children.
Well, and when he came back from,
and that wasn't true. Okay, I mean, you know, listen, I don't care if the kid's 13 or not. If he's shooting a machine gun at you, then you're going to have to shoot him. Okay,
well, I understand it. We allowed. Well, obviously, I wasn't all that. Well, I was an age where I couldn't. I was the first year where I couldn't have gone there, right? But I know an awful lot of people who did, and I know it ruined their lives if they came back. Their lives were pretty much ruined anyway, a lot of the people I knew. But we allowed our politicians, we allowed, or left to their own devices, it sounds a lot like today. They were able to change the definition of victory. right in front of us, to where if you were, quote, a good American, you let them do that instead of the ring on their necks. I mean, the
idea... Well, but see, that's the point, is that, it, you know, people say that this kind of manipulation by the media and things like that is new. It's not. And the problem is that we ceded the not only the moral authority, but the actual authority to do this kind of thing in the first place. All right, and then we get surprised that there's, you know, that there's problems later on, and say, oh, well, you know, that's terrible because, you know, that was not the truth. Well, excuse me, you kind of gave the truth up quite some time ago.
Well, I don't know how, I never even asked you how old you are, if you're older or younger than me. I think you're roughly the same age, but, I actually remember that night on TV, when Walter Cronkite had just gone to Vietnam. He had not been there before or whatever, but he was over there and he came back and he did his news and he said, but he never did it before, from what I understand anyway, Carl. He never did it before and he said, you know what? I just came back from there and I never do this, but I'm telling the Americans, we cannot win this war in any definition that we would consider winning, or something along those lines. He didn't say we couldn't have more body counts the next day than those guys, but that's not winning anything. I mean, what he said was, basically by any definition of what we're talking about, we can't win this thing, and we're not winning. And
well, except he was lying. Okay,
he was right.
Well, he was right in that we left. Okay, but the Tet Offensive, they essentially had exhausted their entire supply of fighting men. They threw them at us, and they all got killed. And yet, the number of GIs that got killed during that offensive was very, very small, and they didn't get a square inch of territory out of it. We, at that point, the war was, for all intents and purposes, over. The other way around, we left.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is the definition of Japan, Germany, those kinds of wars is what people were still working on. I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah.
And so the idea of we fought in the jungle today, and by the way, we counted 30 bodies on their side and 10 on ours, it was a good day, and we're like, who cares who wins this piece of the jungle? We're not talking about an island in the Pacific close to Japan that we can now bomb. I mean, we had the definition, Carl. I mean, the idea of going in a jungle in somebody else's place after the French figured out that it was a bad idea, when you could, my guys from Pullman, most of whom had served over there, stories I would hear from these guys, Carl, was like, yeah, everybody's, you know, because as many guys got killed going from the barracks to the saloon in town at night than did during the day fighting.
I'm not saying that, you know, that we should have gone, or that, you know, that it was a just war, any of that BS, okay, because that's, you know, that's a load of garbage. But the idea that the distorting facts to suit a political narrative and drive public opinion is somehow a 21st century thing that happens in the world of the internet, didn't happen before.
I said people don't change, but my point is Walter Cronkite, in my remembrance, did that one time, which is a lot different than everybody having an opinion every 45 seconds.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and the thing is, I mean, you can say, well, you know, at some point, if you feel that strongly, the problem is that if you're a supposed news organization, lying is lying is lying, okay?
Yeah.
And part of the reason we have this sort of a problem today is the sort of thing that just happened a couple of days ago in Congress with Fauci in the Senate, okay, where he flat out told Rand Paul that he was literally the only person on the planet that believed that if you had a 20% prevalence of COVID-19, that we were into herd suppression, okay? And that's BS. There's six scientific papers, six, that have been published in the last 3 months that all point out that there is somewhere between 30 and 50% of the population with pre-existing immunity.
Well, and it's been obvious for months.
He knows those papers exist.
Yeah. It's been obvious for months.
Well, it's been obvious for months, but he committed perjury in front of Congress by saying that's you know, that no such evidence exists.
Nobody cares.
That's not an opinion. That's a lie.
But Carol, the people who come on the show, that I love to have on, that are all brighter than me in a lot of areas, and you're in that group. The last 5 days, I've done nothing but argue with the likes of Lou, who's drop dead brilliant, Kevin, now you. Nobody cares about our brand of the truth. They don't. Somehow or another, we're not being heard, Colonel. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know why that Fauci should be able to say stuff like that and somehow carry the day. Because Rand Paul, you may not agree with him a lot of stuff, but he's not an idiot. I mean, he's probably read more about this, about these papers than Fauci has. So, I mean, those guys are not idiots. He's not. I mean, for sure. But why is it that we don't? By the way, I have a real quick story for you before we get off the Vietnam thing. I hate to go back on when we're in the middle of the discussion, but the lady who lives upstairs from me, one night, I don't know, someplace, we ended up in the same little bar down the block, and she was telling me about how there was a guy she worked with when her first job was at Walmart. She's real bright. She immediately becomes manager at Walmart, right? And there's this guy working at Walmart, and he never did anything bad to anybody. He just didn't talk to anybody. And she goes, you know, so of course, her name's Sherry. Sherry won't put up with that. The guy goes to have lunch. He's sitting by himself. She plunks down next to him. Of course, he's not happy, but she's friendly as all get out. So, I mean, nothing sexual, boyfriend, girlfriend, anything. She starts talking to the guy. Finally, he warms up to her enough. Guess what his job was in Vietnam, Colonel?
Huh?
When there was this big kind of battle, his job was to go out and look at all the body parts and to come together with a number of how many full bodies they actually, when people were arms and legs missing and heads, try and figure
oh, Lord.
Out, to try and figure, to actually come up with a count of how many bodies they started out to be from kind of doing a mental count of the limbs left. And you think the guy deserves to be a zombie at Walmart? Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that job? How do you come back to this country and say, hey, let's go see the Cubs? I feel so sorry for guys like that. My cousin never made it back into polite society here. Finally, he smoked so much he ended up dying of cancer. But he was in a platoon where he was one of three that survived. You know, type
yeah.
of. I mean, the idea. There, I have a piece of paper in this office. I think you probably Google it, and you probably would have a better opinion than anybody. So I will ask you. This was maybe 8 years ago. Manny and I are doing a show, and I come. Some one of the listeners sent it to me. Out of all the people who were in Vietnam, I don't know how the hell whoever put it together. Not just soldiers, contractors, visitors. This was like, I don't know how many years later. It must have been 30 years later. It was probably done in 1997 or something. It might have been later than that. It might have been 2007. There's 300,000 more people dead since they got back than actuarially should be dead. I mean, that's how many people it took. I don't know if it was Agent Orange, whether it was the drugs people. I have no idea what caused it. You probably know better about that than me, or better guess. That's pretty scary.
Yeah, but that's not, you know, that's the thing is that that's not unusual. And this is, you know, the same sort of thing happened after Desert Storm and things like this, because the reality is, you know, war is hell, okay? And there are very few people that go through that and don't have really bad things happen to them if they survive. I had an uncle that was a bombardier in World War II. And he survived. He wouldn't talk about it.
None of those guys would.
And I mean, you know, his job was to sit up there in a plane, and he had nothing to defend himself with because, of course, you know, he's the bombardier, right? He doesn't have the guns. But his job was to kill people.
And his job was
to blow things up.
And if they ever crashed, his job was to die protecting what was the site, right?
Well, yeah, and you know, one of the things that I had, I don't know where it is now, but one of the things he gave me was his operations manual for his part of the aircraft, including the alignment instructions for the bomb site and everything else.
Who's the guy that, if anybody in the world would know this, except for maybe Lou, who's the guy that invented that bomb site? That was one of the most amazing advances in wartime, wasn't it? The guy who...
I think the guy's name was Norton. I think that's the name of it.
You watch the old 12 o'clock high things where they immediately give it, they say to the bombardier, it's now your plane. They're using that gun.
Yep.
They're using that sight. Whoever invented that, and every one of those guys, you'd rather die than let the Germans get one of those things intact, correct?
Oh yeah, because that, I mean, if they figured out how that works, then of course they'd have one.
Yeah. Of course they wouldn't have the planes to get over here, but still. Hey Kyle, real quick, we want to set up the rest of our talk. I went to, my phone conked out yesterday, which is no story. Phones conk out all the time. But in my area, I hadn't realized, because I'm not a shopper kind of guy. Of course, I try to go to the, I said this with Kevin, I go to the, T-Mobile. I have to brush my way past the stinky garbage trucks, because they're all out in case of a riot. Now, they're out, but you can't say they're out, right? I mean, it's bizarre. I look around in this phone store. The first thing, I'm not that observant, but I'm observant enough to know, hey, there's no phones in here. There's nothing in the place, Carl. Not a thing.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there must have been stuff in the back room. Because, I mean, if you said, I'll buy this phone, maybe they're going to go in the back and go on the safe somewhere and come out with it. They didn't have anything out that anybody could walk in and snag a phone. I always thought the ones that were in those places, the demos, didn't have any insides in them anyway, but maybe they... There wasn't a thing there. So then those guys couldn't. I was like, oh, the Best Buy, the place is still boarded up. And they're like, everybody in there is like looking at the door, like they're ready for the all clear sign to, you know, slam the doors in the front. And, you know, what was the thing on Voyage at the Bottom of the Sea? Close crash windows or something? And head out the back. I mean, it's unbelievable. And yet you say to watch out for the riots, and then they ban your tweet.
Yeah, well, they didn't just ban a tweet, they banned me. I mean, I can still see things, so if somebody posts something that has my name on it, you know, it has my handle on it, it goes through, but I can't like it. It doesn't do anything, and if I try to retweet it, it comes back and says, this may be suspicious, basically, you may be a robot. Well, it approved I'm not a robot.
What if you wanted to challenge that? What do you do? Do you have to sue?
I did. I sent them an email ticket, and I got a tracking number on it. It was 2 days ago. I've heard nothing.
Well,
there's no way to get a hold of anybody and do anything.
No. I'm talking about if you get a call, you know, a parking ticket, you now go to an administrative judge. Well, I guess you could appeal to the administrative judge that told you to pay up. But that's like, you know, I might as well. That's like a fart in a hurricane, right? I mean, what does that do? In other words, do you have to go to court to get yourself back in? I mean,
I attempted to appeal using their process, but it all did was generate a tracking number back in my email, and I've heard absolutely nothing. So I mean, I assume that if I really wanted to appeal, I'd have to sue them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is that where we're headed with this?
I don't know. You're either going to sue them or someone's going to blow them up. One of the two, I think, because at some point. You know, the argument that they would make, of course, is, well, you know, we're a private business, we can do whatever the blankety-blank we want, and legally that may very well be true, but at some point, if you become the town square, okay, and this is the distinction, it's one thing to say, get out, I don't want you in my private company, that's perfectly legal and perfectly fine, but at some point, when you become the town square, when do you cross the line from being a private company to a public place?
Well, that's what I was asking. My next question to you is going to be.
Yeah, I think we've, you know, that's the challenge we have right now. And I think there is a market penetration point that needs to be defined somewhere that says, okay, this is where you've lost the ability to do that.
You know, there's a, what's the term in, God, I should know this. If we don't know, please, one of the listeners. There's a term at which your market penetration gets so big that your brand name, what do they call it, Carol? Your brand name becomes not your brand name anymore. Anybody can use it.
Label.
Well, it's the loss of trademark due to lack of defense. It's what happened to aspirin,
right? And then it also didn't happen to either did or came very close to happening to Kleenex at one point, right? They were like 90% penetration, so you could say it's Carl's Kleenex, even though it's not Kleenex.
Right, but there has to be, in the world where you have the ability to monopolize to this degree, and you know, if you think about it, there is a logic behind this, in that you're also getting the lion's share of the revenue from the advertising dollars and things that flow throughout, you know, through that
right.
particular type of platform. So the fact that you can set up another one, you know, there's Parler, there's a couple of others. And I'm on a couple of, you know, Gab. I've got an account on Gab. I've got an account on Parler. There's nobody on either one of them. But the reality is that when you get to the point that you become a plurality, and there really is no other effective competition, then you have become the town square. Yeah. And would we allow a company town, the old style company town that used to exist, would we allow them to say that in the center of the town you can't wave signs? Because that's kind of where we are right now.
I'm saying, well, in Greeley, Colorado, they own the center disease control guy for the county, and he wasn't testing people that worked in the plant that he knew had COVID. But here, let me ask you this, because you may know the answer, even though I was on the high school newspaper. When let's say the Tribune is what's left of it. Tribune takes letters to the editor, all right? Do they do that because they want to, because they have to, because it's been a convention for 200 years and they feel they have to continue it? And what amount of censorship, I mean, they have room for, let's say, 10 a day. So if they get 100 today, they don't have to put 100 of them in there, probably. How do they determine, or any kind of rules, any kind of convention that says, you only put the ones in you agree with us, you don't agree with us? I mean, I have no idea how that even works, do you?
No, there's no rule per se at all. They don't have to have a letter to the editor page.
But once they do, then does everybody get to go on it? Does half the people, do they get to read them and put the ones in they, only the ones
they... Oh, no, they only run, no, they only run the ones that they like. I mean, I can't tell you how many of those I've sent in over the years, and I've had three or four of them published.
Okay, so it's a convention that you have such a page. There's no rules that say, but what if, now, if you've got, when I grew up, people wonder how long ago that was. There was the Tribune, and there was the Sun-Times in the morning.
They right.
Actually came out at 6:30 at night, so you could go get the then at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock, because I used to deliver some of them, was the Chicago American and the Daily News. And Mike Royko wrote for the Daily News. And the people in the afternoon loved it when the people in the morning screwed up a story, and they could print the, unlike what you read this morning, this is what really happens. So you had that going for you. So I don't know that you necessarily needed a governing body to say, they all had letters to the editor, right? And
right.
Now, I don't think you needed a governing body to do this stuff. Okay, but now, literally, you're down to the Tribune, you know, sometimes a little bit, there's more of this computer stuff. Now what? I mean, does anybody get in? Nobody get in? I mean, that's what, I mean, you and I, you know, joust about a lot of stuff, and the people, and one thing I always bring up to the conservative types is when they can't stand the socialism that's going on or some people are pushing for. And now that I'm in the middle, Carl, it's very, well, it's clearer, nothing very clear. It's lonely though. And, I don't know that the people who are being accused of wanting to be socialist or something, even though what socialist is, I don't even know if they know what capitalist is. I think what they're looking at, what's going down here, is they don't like what's happening. And they see what's going on ain't working. And I use the term ain't because my blue collar roots, it ain't working. Now you can accuse them of being socialist, you can accuse them of being something else, but if ever I want a tongue tie of the rock conservative, I'll say you define for me right now what the system is. This happened 2 weeks ago at softball, and again a guy goes, "What do you mean it's capitalist? Really, really?
Yeah.
You know, name me 10 industries that you think are perfectly competitive." And the guys are, "What are you talking about?" Because we had Jan,
how about you name one?
I'm going to say barbershops. That kind of stuff, you know, stuff that's 1% of the economy. Local saloons, of course, we're gonna bury that. It's still farming is. I mean, if one farmer decides not to plant or he's pissed off, so he's not going to plant, it doesn't matter, right? Farming at that level still is. Now, it's getting less and less as people go out. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, Trump didn't do it on purpose. I don't think he knows enough to know what the hell he did, but he put enough soybean farmers out of business in the northern area. That their stuff went to China, you know, predominantly. And I'll bet there's, I mean, the land is still going to be farmed by somebody, Carl, but I bet there's 10,000 less small farmers. And maybe a couple of different, and there's somebody still there, but it might not be the same somebody. And it's somebody right. Who's a little bit bigger. So, I mean, the same thing is happening in every area here. You know, you're going to find consolidations every place because of what's happening. But I mean, this is not, as Lou likes to say, this is a very fascist economy. Three or four companies in every industry, or less. And, I mean, you look at Dan Janinas, we got to go break here, but Dan Janinas was on yesterday, he was talking about companies that are in the, he wasn't really talking about utilities, but I said, okay, I hope we're not going to go down the Commonwealth Edison road where
I use way less energy than I did 20 years ago, okay? And by the way, the cost of natural gas and oil and the other stuff they use is probably down from 20 years ago, yet my bill's higher and they're all getting paid more. that's where we are, Carl, I think. I don't know how you describe that as an economic system, but I can see where the AOCs of the world look at this and go, this kind of sucks. Now, does that brand her a socialist? I don't know. I never talked to her, but I mean, does it, or is she just saying what I'm seeing don't look so hot? I mean, I don't know where they are and that thing. Do you? I mean, let's talk about it after break. S&P futures down 975, NASDAQ up 12. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate this summer, could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tim Allen. He's AV on the board. We have Mr. Carl Denninger with us. S&P futures now down 13. NASDAQ futures down 9. NASDAQ ducked down 20 points from when it came out with the durable goods numbers, it rose 0.4% in August versus a 1.5% increase expected. Those numbers, I don't know, they kind of jump around. I never thought those were all that tradable, but anyway, that's the number. Dow futures are down 146. Over in Europe, we got the DAX down 196, not as bad as it was last time I checked. Still 1.6%. FTSE down 18.3%. So CAC around down 74, 1.5. That was down like 1.7 earlier as well. Stocks down over there, autos, travel, and tech stocks. Well, you can't travel. So if you can't travel, I guess you don't need a car. Anyway, one thing leads to another. Nikkei up 116. It's 0.5%. Shanghai down 3. Call that flat. Hang Seng down 75.3%. So not much the voice of Asia today. Just a review of yesterday. Dow finished up 52 after being down huge in the morning. S&P up 9.6, which is 967, which is 0.3%. NASDAQ up 39.3%. So we finished in the plus. We were way down. We were way up, and then we finished, you know, a little bit to the positive. Bonds, 0.65. It's as low as we've seen in a while. One minus 0.52. 10-year of Japan hanging by a thread, positive 0.001. Oil up down 41 cents, under 40 again, 39.90. Brent down 24 cents, 41.70. Natural gas down 6 cents, 218. RBOB unchanged at 119. And gold, whack, 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 down 15 bucks. That's 18.61. Silver down 44 cents, 22.75. I'm kind of stunned. I kind of have some puts. That if Pelosi and Munchkin are talking about another trillion to a trillion five that we're going to have to add into the mix of dollars, that somehow that's not bullish for gold, but somehow it is not. Maybe somebody's liquidating that, I don't know. AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Good morning, friends. Beautiful morning and nice day to probably soak up the last sunshine and get us that vitamin D. The day promising to be.
Well, you got some
sunny.
Vitamin D yesterday wandering around the park waiting for the water taxi. Never showed up.
Yeah, we did. It was actually a really nice day. So if you guys have a chance, go to Chinatown.
God.
Yeah, the temperature in Chicago should be nice, 79 degrees during the day and 63 at night. Phoenix has been stable, keeping the temperatures near high records. The highest of the day should be 105 and the lowest 76. Also, evident sunshine, clear skies. We have some serious crash reported on Dan Ryan inbound at Roosevelt, creating a significant delays. And other than that, traffic looks all right. And in sports, we have Cubs that lost to Pirates 0-7, and White Sox lost to Indians 4-5.
So Carl, do you think it would be appropriate to ask AV how many hits and everything the Cubs got yesterday, and how many errors?
Well, I don't know.
I was in Chinatown yesterday.
That's right.
I was.
What do you think about two ladies when I'm bringing Chinese food back for the office? They say, we don't want any of that you just paid for. We'll just drop us off in Chinatown.
Well, I don't know quite what to think of that.
You know?
Well, we want to sit outside, you know? It's like the last summer days.
Yes, yes.
That's true. On the other hand, you know, we just had...
You should.
That's funny. A couple of weeks ago, you know, we had Sally that they went into the Gulf Coast and flooded Pensacola pretty good. And that thing, you know, comes up in this part of the country and it rains for a couple of hours. Well, now this little dog squeeze thing, Beta, that was essentially just a rainstorm, has now produced better than 24 straight hours of rain here.
Wow.
I mean, literally, it's been raining since 2 o'clock in the morning, not this morning, but yesterday.
Oh.
And I think it may actually stop sometime in the next 12 hours. And it's not raining real hard, but just like, you know, can't do anything useful outside because you're going to get soaked.
Well, let's see. If I wanted to move to an area, at least you're north of crocodiles, aren't you, alligators?
I am north of crocodiles and alligators, and I have to tell you, I really do like the climate and just the general environment here, but this is just the weirdest, you know, I mean, it's like anywhere else. In the Midwest, you know, you guys know how this works in Chicago. It rains like cats and dogs, and then an hour later, the sun's out.
Well, if I was in an area that had mosquitoes and water moccasins and all that good stuff like the South, not to mention the alligators, the last thing I would need is about 8 inches of rain. Just saying.
Well, I think the total we're probably going to get out of this thing is maybe two. So, I mean, you know, but and the thing is, the bugs aren't nearly as bad as they are down in Florida. I mean, good Lord. Down there, you know, the cockroaches, they fly.
Yeah, they carry you around. Hey, I have a question for you. Since you're normally here, and you, who knows, I might have you back next Friday with the labor stuff, but I'm looking at some of these numbers and the economic numbers that are coming out, and I listen to as best I can the people on TV telling you how great the economy is and the best bounce in the history of the world. The economy's come back, the world's shortest recession. By the way, even though I'm supposed to be this economic guy, if you drop 30% in the GDP in 1 month, and the next month you're only down 20%, I guess that's an up quarter, right? So you didn't have two down quarters in a row, but it's still negative, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the way it works is that, technically speaking, to call something a recession or a depression, you have to have two sequential negatives. And so if you have a sharp spike downward and then a slight move upward, technically it's over.
All right, but as I wander through these numbers trying to differentiate myself, I don't really care if I differentiate myself from the people on TV. I want to differentiate myself by how good I do for my clients and how good I do on the show. I'm looking at the numbers, Carl. Now, we had this issue, you know, started, well, you and I think it started way earlier in March. Shutdown comes in March. Congress pretty much chops and gets a bill out there with the estimate that this bad crap is going to last till the end of June. So they give all these small businesses. By the way, I was starting to read some of the numbers. The amount of people that got money on this stuff is pretty amazing. Well, there were 27,000 businesses in Illinois that got numbers over 150,000. Then the countrywide, it's like 6 million or 5 million or something, isn't it? Total? But anyway, the scary part there is the entire amount of that was only a sixth of the entire CARES Act. So you can only imagine where the other 5/6 went. Anyway, but by and large, they put together a, quote, fix that was going to keep everybody afloat till the end of June. Now, some people that were already afloat essentially got paid for nothing, but, you know, I'm not gonna beat up that point. That's a topic for another day, maybe. But now we're pushing September, and the people who were getting their unemployment until what, the end of July, were getting an extra $600 a week. So let's say that everybody who was median salary or less was actually nominally doing better at the mailbox than they were working, or as good. I mean, again, that's not the topic of discussion. Now, you know, whether it caused them not to want to go back to work, I mean, who the hell knows? But the point being is, now this is all stopped, pretty much. Now, we had $300 more per week for, what, another 5 weeks or 6 weeks, Carl, which is still ongoing. But now that's going to end pretty soon. Now, the question is, if you take the assumption, scientific assumption, that everybody was kept afloat for that period of time, and now what I'm seeing here, more people are going out of business now than did in March, April, or May. I mean, it's almost becoming geometric here, because now there's no more money coming from the government. By the way, the unemployment's ran out. When does that hit? When are we going to get a durable goods number instead of being positive 0.4 instead of 1.4 is minus like 8 or something? I mean, I don't see how that, unless something else comes up here, Carl, I don't see how that doesn't happen. Am I way off? I think we're a month
away. I think you're absolutely right. And this is one of the things I've pointed out, is that the double whammy on this thing is going to show up, and it's going to come in two forms. The first is exactly that you can play the print money game only for a certain amount of time. I mean, there is a point at which that runs out. And I think Congress, to some degree, you still have the crazed side of things. Oh no, there's no limit to this. You know, Pelosi and her, you know, we're going to do another $2.2 trillion. No, she's not, because the Senate is never going to pass it. And they shouldn't pass it, because frankly, the money that they allocated the first two times hasn't been spent. Okay, so the argument that we have to allocate more when you haven't spent what's already been allocated is crazy. I mean, that's just plain batshit nuts.
Well, the stuff that was allocated to every man and every business, I mean, the 1,200 hours went out.
Well, that went out, but the problem is all the other stuff that's back in there. The, you know, the bond buying and the, you know, and the support for this industry, and that is a huge part of that money has not been actually spent. Well, it was allocated by Congress, but it wasn't spent.
Well, that's the,
so there is a.
I said that's the mind-boggling part of it. If you look at all the amount of money that was sent out for the PPP, I believe the $1,200 checks and the 600 hours only came up to like $560 billion. Wasn't the total like $3
trillion? Or, and yeah, that's the thing, is that when you look at the reality of it, essentially what Congress did, and this goes back to what, you know, been talking about for years, about the fact that we don't live in a capitalist society, we live in a corporate welfare society where Congress hands out money to certain favored people, lets them do things that if you or I did it, we'd go to prison. And then on top of it, when it suits their purposes, they actually fund them directly. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So it gets even more crazy. I mean, you know, there's stuff like what Elon Musk has done with Tesla and the tax farm nonsense. Is bad enough, but now you actually have the idea that we're going to directly fund these companies, and yet we add this little bit of ice cream on top for the individual American, so that we can claim that this is helping everybody. But it's a fifth of the total, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
and so we put this little bit out there, but boy, everybody loves that. My niece has to go work at Meijer and stock shelves to get some groceries. And yet, the guy that lives next door to her is smoking bong hits at 6 o'clock in the morning because he's laid off, and he's getting $600 a week to sit at home and get stoned.
Well, let me ask. Let's pick a company because we got some time here. One, they're not my favorite, but let's just pick them and walk through the advantages. It's one thing to see the advantages they have, Carl, but it's quite another to figure out who the hell's benefiting by them. And when I say this. This Amazon comes into the world. They were born in a manger in Bethlehem or someplace, it appears. You know, they pop out. They start doing this stuff now early on, and I don't even know what the court makeup was at the time. I think they're all very highly respected people, but I'll say the buffoonish decision. By the way, our friend who just died. Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that out of all the decisions she'd want back was the one that allowed corporate places to spend as much money as they wanted. What was that decision?
That was Citizens United,
yeah,
I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, she said the one out of all the decisions, the one she'd want back, she thinks she screwed up on was that one. Anyway, but that's just an aside. But now, so Amazon, early on, okay, gets this, and I don't know what the story is at the Supreme Court, but Amazon early on gets this ruling that says if you sell a TV and deliver it in Illinois, that you don't have to collect the taxes. Okay, it doesn't mean you have to pay them. Of course, nobody does. And for some reason, the state of Illinois will they'll find you in the can if you don't pay your state income tax, or you. God help you if you don't pay your city occupancy stamps. They will find you underneath the covers, to be even grosser. Somehow the states are totally, they don't give a rat's behind about collecting these taxes. So foolishly, Amazon is growing like a weed as you see people walking into Marshall Field's at the time or Best Buy, looking at a TV, going on their cell phone or calling home saying, go on a computer, buying it from XYZ in Montana and not having to pay taxes. On a $1,000 TV, you save $110 in Chicago. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So early on, it's sort of like the banks got the same sort of, I'm going to say, incredibly stupid decision on the Supreme Court. I'm sounding like people when I wasn't there, and I'm going to, but it said that even though the usury rate in Illinois is 12, that if you put a branch at a bank in South Dakota where they don't have usury, you get to charge 25% to a person in Illinois. Now, I have no idea where that one came either. I mean, so
this is the problem with legitimating lawlessness.
Well, but let me kind of finish this up here. But what I don't get, Carl, what I want to get from you is you and I on a legal and a fairness stage. We might say, wow, that's not fair. That pretty much sucks. But if you and I were governor or something, I would sit there and say, wait a minute. I'm now losing
all the revenue from this brick and mortar place that's paying property taxes, that's doing all this stuff, that's paying state income taxes to this state, doing all those things, where the city of Chicago should say, I'm not letting that happen. Why? I'm going to go after this company with the same fervor that I would PTI when they accused us of buying too many computers in Hodgkins instead of Chicago. That lasted like a month. We were fighting those guys. The fervor they... Why does the state not recognize this is not benefiting us? Or, on the other hand, say, okay, we know that 500 swinging idiots just bought a $1,000 TV from Amazon, and we're going to send them a bill. Are we afraid to find, you know, Jay's wife on that list? You know, why do they just let this go? And at the same time, if you own a parking sticker, they're literally going to come and find you in the can.
That's the kind of thing, though. That is part of the problem. And then what you have is you look at the record with Amazon, for example. Okay, Amazon originally refused to pay and collect any sales taxes for any jurisdiction, and they put their warehouses, which are clearly Nexus, that were in a given state, which would normally expose them to that, whether they liked it or not, they put them in separate, wholly owned LLCs, and then try to claim that they were independent companies, and therefore, they didn't have Nexus. I fought that one up back when I was running my internet company, and we wanted to go into Wisconsin. And I was told, by the corporate lawyers, yeah, you can go ahead and try that. We'll be happy to represent you in jail.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly where you're going to go, right? And so I'm like, okay, that was a nice try. They're like, yeah, don't even think about it. But, but this is what Bezos did for years and years and years. And then when the states finally decided they're going to go after him, then he quietly says, oh, well, I'll collect them going forward.
Yeah.
Well, how about the $10 billion that you didn't collect over the last 4 years, and all the small businesses that you destroyed?
But let's say, right. But I'm not asking the Jay Pritzker, Lori Lightfoot, and their ilk, when I say all politicians, I don't care which side, in their ilk to make it fair, because they're never going to do that. That's just not the kind of people they are. But they at least when they are sniffing around for the next dollar like a terrier after a bone, they at least should understand it. Wow, this is really hurting us money-wise. I mean, is that where, and I'm not using them personally, is that where Bezos shoves some stock in their back? I mean, why is it that when they're so worried about revenue everywhere else, they'll let this go?
Well, I think there's some bribery going on somewhere. Of course, the problem with that is go ahead and try to prove it, which is not easy, right?
But, I mean, Jeff Bezos, 20 years ago, if they were even around 20 years ago, was nowhere near as powerful as Best Buy or Sears or any of those places.
But the thing is that what you say is, look, I'm going to put this warehouse down in the, just outside the city, but in Chicago, quote unquote, right, in the Chicago area, and I'm going to employ, 600 people. And if you come after me, it's going away.
But I guess what I'm saying is he got all these advantages before he was big enough to demand them.
Well, he got him because he just did it.
Yeah, he just did it, yeah.
And basically put the middle finger up and said, you're not going to put me in prison. I run a multi-million dollar corporation.
And he must know that the elites are the ones that jumped on it real early, and they were the ones buying a $2,000 TV and saving it $200. And maybe the elites told Jay, if you ever come after me for that $200, you're out of... I mean, somehow or another, they don't have any problem coming after me. But, I mean, what do you suppose the names, if you went back 20 years... And the names of people who didn't pay their sales tax on Amazon stuff, how many who's who of Chicago and the state of Illinois would be on that list?
Oh, all of them. But, I mean, you're right, though. I mean, good Lord, the city, they came after me for a parking ticket that I didn't even know I had because it blown off the windshield.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay, and good Lord, the threats that are, we're going to find, we find your car, we're going to boot it. You know, and I mean, and that was I ran a company downtown. Was I big enough to get that sort of? Of course, I wasn't big enough to get that sort of privilege. So, of course, when they didn't pay their bill on time, they found out that knife cuts both ways.
But when you see this, I mean, I understand after taking two classes from George Stigler and growing up in Mayor Daley's era, Richard J. I understand, quote, how things work. But at least in Richard J. Daley's time, there was a logic to how it worked. There was a, the patronage system
they were the employer of last resort. If Carl's uncle was kind of a loser, but he still would show up to work, he'd be a bridge tender somewhere. Nobody wanted to be a bridge tender. He got a job. He had something to do. This is back when the bridges used to go up whenever a boat came by. And there was something to do. Nobody really wants that job. Or he could be a guy working in the Secretary of State's office. It was a patronage system, but these are not jobs people are clamoring for. And you knew that the minute you got that job, you had to behave. At least then you knew that the brother-in-law who asked for the job would ride herd on the guy so he wouldn't be in jail the next day, or at least hopefully. I mean, there was some method to the madness. As a matter of fact, my guys at the University of Chicago, George Stigler being one of them, said that he felt if you really did a major study, a couple of PhD studies, comparing the civil service system to the patronage system, he actually thought the patronage system was more efficient. You know, not by a long way.
Well, you know, we have, that's the thing, is there's an argument, you know, that what we have now in the federal government with the civil service system is, it used to be that when a new administration came in, literally everybody got fired.
Yeah.
And you know, that was because they were all political appointees and they were all gone. And then we supposedly, quote unquote, fixed that. Well, I'm not so sure that we made it better by doing that.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is it's one thing to have government that you don't agree with. But what I find now is government that doesn't seem to make any sense. I mean, we're down money and yet we're closing businesses and we're forcing people online. Well, by the way, do you get the money from those guys? No. Well,
I'll tell you what's even more crazy. Around here, the revenue in one of the towns here is down 17% year over year. Okay, because they have this particular city publishes an audit report every quarter. And so they're down 17%. Well, you know what they were debating at the commission meeting on Monday night? Giving all the people that work for the county a raise.
There seems to be no connection between reality and what these people...
I mean, I'm like, where do you think the money comes from that pays these people salaries?
Well, I mean, in the city here, the demise, I'll say, of the taxi cab industry. Now, whether it was always Milton Friedman's, well, he had two major whipping boys when he used to talk about competition. One of them was taxis, and what was the other, Carl? Would you guess?
I don't know, but that one makes perfect sense.
Doctors, because doctors. We're able to determine how many new medical schools open so they could control their own competition. So those are two you always use for an example. But now, I'm not saying that people shouldn't be able to use their iPhone to get a cab. But all of a sudden to say that an Uber is not a cab, wait a minute. If you pick you pick a fanny up at point A and drop it off at point B, it sounds an awful lot like a cab to me. But, you know, but now all of a sudden we have licensing for cabs. Well, because Rahm's brother owns stock in Uber, we're not going to license Uber people. Not that I want people being taxed. You know, I'm not a tax guy. But the unfairness of it and the lack of intelligence of it, do we really want 100,000 people or 50,000 people driving around downtown without any measure of a license, without any measure of any kind of a fee, without any regards of how old the car can be? All the rules where they should have been there for cabbies or not, which they probably shouldn't have been. How do you just decide one day, oh, I like these new guys, they're in, the other guys are out? Well, with all the revenue that goes with it. And now,
that's the same thing, though. That's, I mean, in countless industries where, capitalism, who are you trying to joke? I mean, as long as you're small enough, you know, you run a corner tavern, yeah, you might get away with that. Maybe, except look at what's happening now. Yeah. You're the corner tavern, you're closed.
Sure, and probably not. Although I have heard... now again, where's the silly putty end up with? I don't know if he doesn't know what silly putty is, but the corner tavern doesn't pay his lease, or he tells his landowner, look, the lease is $8,000, I can only pay you two. And the guy may say, well, let's pay two for 6 months. If it gets better, you owe me at least two more for those months. I'll eat the other four, and then we'll go forward from there and see what happens. Now, if the guy's Daddy Warbucks and he can absorb that, that's one thing. Now, if he has a mortgage, now maybe he can go to the bank and say, by the way, I'm paying you a third or a half. Don't know if that's going to happen. But since the state's the one who closed the place, can he really say, if the landlord pays the taxes, can he say, hey, to Governor and Dictator Lori, I'm only sending you half a check?
Well, is that going to happen, or do you, John Flanagan claims that there's a procedure for that. You might actually make an appeal saying for this year I was forced to close, and based some of your taxes and commercial size are based on revenue, and the revenue is down. Maybe you can win that fight, but it doesn't mean that you don't have to send a check this week. So, I mean, how that all plays out, I mean, I don't know, Carl. I mean, do you? I mean, is it going to play out individually in every single case?
I think it's going to play out to a large degree individually, but I think when you look at the economic reality of it, between that and the inflationary impact that we're going to see showing up in places where you don't want it, like, for example, lumber, and food, between that and the demand side, I'm not real happy about what I think is going to happen in 2021, especially, the back half of the year.
Are you available for our usual, labor numbers next Friday?
Always.
All right, bud. Take care of yourself. S&P futures down 9. NASDAQ futures up 18. Mixed bag here. We're down heavy early, but not anymore. I'll be back. Be right back Monday morning, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.